When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Clout and Blue podcast post-match reaction. I'm your host, Dan Rowlandson, for this one, joined by Matt Kendrick. It's late, isn't it? Come on. This podcast is sponsored by NordVPN, so if you're after the best discount code available, you can visit our link in the description down below. There's the contractual obligations out of the way. I'm now contractually obliged to speak nicely to Matt Kendrick. Matt, how are you?
Okay. Oh, I'm knackered, mate. To be honest, that intro music is so long. All I wanted to do is go to bed and sulk. And it's just that I can see you just letting the music still take your head nodding
along. At the bottom, I was grooving along. I mean, I was about to say we've lost. Kind of feels a little bit like that to a certain extent. But I'm relatively still, you know. I'm upbeat for the podcast, if nothing else.
Well, it's a Saturday night, isn't it? You're a young dad, so you don't get out on a Saturday night. And I'm an old man, so I don't get out on a Saturday night. So if you can't groove along to our music, then what can you do? I'm in a bit of a mood, Dan. I think, to be honest, because I don't really want to be harsh on this team and this bunch of players, because I think they've been brilliant. Well, they've been magnificent most weeks, and I think probably some of tonight's performance was that sometimes there's not much left in the tank. But I just thought we were kind of architects of our own downfall, having somehow found our way to go 2-0 up. I just think we just didn't look after the ball well enough, did we? I mean, the possession stats tonight, ridiculous. I don't think I've seen possession stats like that in the Premier League since 2016, when we're falling out the back end of it. It's 72% of the ball that Chelsea had.
Was it really?
Tonight, and it was like, at 2-0, we got to half-time. Why could we not just have... I mean, I think losing Tielemans has affected us, and obviously losing Martinez has affected us. I think there's lots of mitigation. I just felt it was very un-Emery-like. We spoke a lot about Emery wanting to have control of situations on the pitch, and you could see him, you know, you could see him in his technical area tonight just saying, you don't need to play that ball. You know, we don't need to go in search of the third goal necessarily. We just need to just try and exert some calm on the game. But having said that, you know, I know it's a long answer to the first. I think you only asked how I was, didn't you? It's a long answer to the first question. Having said that, I think it could be a really, really important point. I think it could, but I'm not saying that's the point that clinches it. And obviously, when you're 2-0 up at home, you expect to see the job through. But we could have lost that game tonight, and we didn't. Somehow, we didn't. So I think we just got to bank that point. Hope that Arsenal do a job on Spurs. And see where we are next weekend.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm relatively upbeat still about the situation, about the race for the top four. If we continue to win a couple of games, Spurs have got a hell of a lot to do to catch us. When we did our predictions, me and John both had Spurs getting 10 points, so to 70. We're on 67. We need three more to get 70. four more to not for it to not go down to goal difference. That doesn't seem impossible. There's three games left: Brighton, Palace, Liverpool. Liverpool's at home. It's our final home game. Give it everything. Who knows? Liverpool are not kind of the title challengers that they once were. Brighton, we have a decent record against. So I don't really want to have to go to Palace needing something, because that could be a potential banana skin. But if we do have to go there knowing, okay, if you win today, that's fourth, I would back us to do it. So I'm still relatively positive about the situation. Just before we get into bits and pieces from tonight, because it was not a good game. I'm not upbeat about the performance. It was one of the worst games that we've had probably this season. And you are right that I don't really want to get stuck into individuals too much and berating the team. I don't think it is a fact of running out of steam or fatigue catching up with us or anything like that. I think it's probably just a case of, okay, we've been brilliant this year. We've probably deserved to finish fourth. We've been the fourth best team pretty much consistently all the way through the season. And this is not news to anybody, but we're not the finished article. We're not a side that can just run away with it and be on 75, 76 points going, okay, well, we're not going to win the league, but we're definitely going to be in the top four forever. We're still going to have these iffy performances: Brentford, Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Man United twice, tonight. To be turning up at home and not win when you kind of, you just don't have to win to secure top four, but it would have gone a bloody long way today to have won. To not do that is a disappointment. And the good teams kind of just dispatch you, don't they? And they get the job done. And we are a good team, but we're, like I say, this is not news to anyone. We're not the finished article yet. It just shows that for as good as this season that has been, to consistently be up there in the top four and actually get over the line, you do have to have just a little bit more. And we don't quite have that just yet. But I do still think if you have top cards on the table, I do think we'll still finish fourth this season.
Yeah, I agree. I still think we will. I just think we're going to do it a very Aston Villa way. Well, we've never done it before. Well, we have finished fourth in the league, but not when he's got us Champions League before. It was going too well, wasn't it? You know, we won at Arsenal. We found our way into the semi-final of the Europa Conference League, and then we produced a very accomplished performance last weekend to beat Bournemouth. So we're probably asking a little bit much to win again tonight. I thought we were going to. Having got us into that 2-0 lead, I thought Emery would be able to kind of calm it down and get us going into the second half, just trying to be in control of that game. But we weren't particularly good first half, were we?
We were never in control. And the goals come at good times, don't they, to open the scoring with our own goal in the first 4 minutes changes the entire game plan for both sides. I predicted 4-0 in the previous. So I got four goals, but split them two each. I was thinking, well, this is going to be one of those nights where Villa click into gear, Chelsea are going to have one of their bad ones. We're 1-0 up already. The atmosphere is rocky, and here we go, 2 or 3-0. Happy days, onwards we go. The second goal comes, you know, a lot of added time, but just before the end of the first half, you should be going into that second half to see the game out. But as you said, we were never, control is the key word, isn't it, for Emery? And even at 2-0 up, we're never in control of that game. And Emery said in his post-match, he's first of all asked, like, you know, what did you make of it? And he's very happy. We've secured Europa League football for next season, and we've improved on our league position. You know, very happy we've achieved that tonight, which, you know, kind of classic Emery, isn't it, to think of the bigger picture. Then the interviewer said something like, were you pleased with the performance? And he was like, I want more. And that basically said, no, but without throwing anyone under the bus. And we all know that was not a good performance. That was not a good game. There was a lot of, as I said, I don't want to dig out individuals specifically, but there's three or four players off the top of my head that didn't play to the standards that we're used to them playing towards, and them not going to that standard has basically led to the result in a roundabout way. We need everybody putting in 7, 8, 9s out of 10 in these remaining games for people to have below par performances when you expect so much of a John McGinn or an Ollie Watkins or whoever it is. I don't want to say they've let us down, because that's absolutely not the right phrase, but just getting over the line tonight would have been so helpful to securing top four. Not quite tonight, but going really close to sorting it. In fact, we've not, and we've come away 2-2. And if not for VAR, which got it right, to be fair, you know, it wasn't given on the pitch, was it? So thank God for VAR, because if not, we do go on to lose that game. It just does feel really disappointing, doesn't it? But I want to remain as positive as possible.
Yeah, I think, you know, Emery saying I'm happy, you know, I bet it was a different story. He's first in the dressing room, isn't he? So he's probably headbutting the tactics board by the time the rest of his players came in. So I'm not sure how happy he would actually been. I think he'd have been super frustrated at having found our way to get in front with a two-goal cushion that we somehow contrived to shoot ourselves in the foot and not get over the line with it. But having said that, you know, there were two or three or four players who were below par, but what's par? You know, they've produced superhero performances most weeks. You know, a lot of times, a lot of that squad, well, I don't know what John's player ratings say tonight, but a lot of the time, a lot of that squad would have been getting you sevens, eights, nines out of 10. And, you know, if you do slip to a six or a five or whatever, then that's what happens. And it surprised me the energy that Chelsea had and the fact that they were really, really up for it. I mean, they were obviously coming off a spanking at Arsenal, so they probably needed to react to that. But I mean, Conor Gallagher was dictating the midfield, to be honest, you know, kind of strutting around in socks that look like fishnet stockings. But we just didn't, not just for his goal, we didn't get near him and we didn't stop him. And I think that was the time, having lost Tielemans, and you'd probably want Louise and McGinn as two of your better footballers to be able to influence that midfield battle more, and to be able to kind of, when we did get the ball, to be able to keep the ball. And I'm not digging out those two, because I think collectively we just weren't quite on it. But I think thought Chelsea were good, as below par as we were. I thought Chelsea played really, really well.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I think there's elements that we allowed Chelsea to be good as well, where we're not doing our job correctly. I think initially, to play the way we did was intentional. We kind of gave Chelsea space. We gave them time on the ball, sat in a little bit deep, and we're there to catch them on the counter, aren't we? And that's how we've got the goal. And in theory, the idea works, but when you're still kind of doing the same thing and giving them a lot of time and a lot of the ball, even when they get back to 2-2 and it's all gone a bit panic stations and everyone's losing their heads a little bit, it does look a little bit messy at that stage. You know, I spoke about Watkins last week, didn't we? Having a masterclass in hold-up play, probably a disaster class this week in that nothing really worked. Things just bouncing off him, couldn't really get there. And some of that is service as well. Pau Torres is passing fantastic, but not tonight. You know, a couple of wayward ones. Douglas Luiz comes back in, which was a talking point pre-game of, do you upset the midfield that's just won back-to-back games? Yes, you do, because he's a great player, but he looked a little bit rash, gets his yellow card, and then I thought he was a walking red before he came off. You end the game, I saw this comment on social media, I can't remember who it was, so I've not long got back myself, but it's got that something like, we've finished with Olsen in goal, Timmy Rabunim in midfield and Matty Cash playing right wing. It's kind of like, well, to an extent, what do you expect? It's like we're that far down the pecking order in terms of the squad availability that when you do need to make changes, you're kind of going, oh, I've got nothing really to throw at it. If it's not working with the first 11, you've probably got one change that might change the game, and if that doesn't work, you are kind of throwing a few things at the wall and seeing what sticks. So didn't play well, but like I said, and I'm trying to reiterate, I don't want to be doom and gloom about it. If I like to look at games in kind of like couplings of two or three or a period of four or five or whatever. If I'd have offered you a couple of weeks ago or 10 days ago, whatever it is, 7 points from Arsenal, Bournemouth and Chelsea, you'd have taken that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course you would. But I think having banked six already and been 2-0 up, you probably wouldn't have been your first choice. But listen, that point is a good point. You know, let's not forget, we've had, I think Jackson's had a goal disallowed first half for offside. Mm. He's headed a glaring chance against the post that he should have scored. You've had Robin Olsen producing a brilliant save from from Parma after Douglas, after Diego Carlos. Christ, goodness knows what he was doing with that. But, you know, that's a big save from Robin Olsen. Then you've had the last minute, the late second goal disallowed as well. So I wouldn't, I feel quite grateful for a point. And, you know, when the 7 minutes has gone up, I'm thinking, just blow the whistle here, ref. I'm done with this. I'll just take the point and we'll all go home.
I think it was more likely, wasn't it, at that stage, if there was going to be a winning goal, it was going to be Chelsea. The, kind of the match momentum when Sky and BT and whoever put kind of those graphics up, it would have been all in blue, wouldn't it? That Chelsea were the ones that were looking the better side. Emery said something in his post-match that kind of Chelsea absolutely deserved it, and they did. Like, I don't want to downplay it. Oh, we're much better than Chelsea, so we should always beat them. They played well against us tonight, and they've played well against us in the Cup as well, and they've deserved to get something out of that, which is obviously a shame for us. The guy next to me, my Villa Park neighbour, he was speaking to me about, he said at one stage when it was 2-2, before injury time, before the disallowed goal, he kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know what, this is a cracking point. And I was like, hang on a minute, I don't know if I'm buying cracking point. Like, when you turn it up at home and you just won the previous two, I don't think that's a good point in those circumstances. And he's like, yeah, but we've not played well, and we're looking like if there is going to be a goal in this, it will be for Chelsea rather than for us. So if this stays 2-2, I think it's a cracking point. Okay, cracking, maybe not. Good point, possibly, yes. It could be an important point. It just feels like, I feel that frustration of a missed opportunity that we're 7 points clear of Spurs, with them having 3 games in hand. Obviously, one of those is tomorrow. So the 2 games in hand are Chelsea and Man City. They've still got to win those 2 games in hand to kind of get back level with us. They've got to hopefully lose tomorrow. They've got Liverpool in there as well. They've got Burnley and Sheffield United that we keep saying are a banker 6 points, but then Burnley go and get something this weekend. And you think, well, maybe they'll get something from Spurs. It's so, so hard to predict how these things are going to go. Maybe they beat Liverpool, but then lose to Burnley. And you think, well, they've got 3 points there and nothing there. And it's just, they've got to the same anyway. So I think if Spurs get to 70, we only need 3 more points and we can maybe rely on goal difference, which I would not like. We need 4, a win and a draw from the final 3 to kind of beat their points total. So who knows? I still think it's positive and it could be an important point. If we were to finish 1 point ahead of Spurs, people will say, well, it was the Chelsea point that got us there. Never mind the other 70 points that we picked up this season. So it could be important. Would you go as far as to say cracking the point, or is that a little bit too much?
I don't know whether I use the word cracking very often. I prefer crackling to cracking. I think it's a decent point. I think it's an important point. You know, it could become an ultra-significant point. At the moment, it doesn't feel like a cracking point. It feels like I was glad to get out of Villa Park tonight because I thought I was just going to... I felt crestfallen, to be honest. But since I've driven back, I feel I've been able to process it a little bit more and think that that it is a decent point because I've reflected on the balance of play and chances. Having said that, Dan, second half, you know, Bailey's had one that saved and then it just didn't fall for Watkins and they were able to get it clear. And then, you know, I can't remember. I think it was McGinn, wasn't it? Who's left Gallagher. He's turned Gallagher and then he slipped in Matty Cash. Matty Cash done a brilliant cutback and Watkins has nearly smacked it over the top of the whole end. And that's not the new and improved Ollie Watkins, is it? You'd expect him to side foot that in the bottom right corner or whatever. So we've had the chances. If we'd scored both of those two, though, against the run of play, you know, the gods really would have been shining on us. So I think that would have been pushing our luck to expect us to convert those two as well. But I don't know. I think that the key thing for me is that we don't normally have 2 bad performances in a row. And if our bad performances, we're still finishing with a point against a decent team, then I think you just got to take the positives from it, really.
Just quickly on Martinez and Tielemans, I've got some notes, by the way. I'll get back before you, which is a rarity these days. So Emery said about Martinez, we will test him tomorrow. Even with the injury of Tielemans, we will have to wait for tomorrow. I don't know exactly. Even if they are not available for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we have to accept it. Obviously, Martinez would not have played Thursday night anyway because of his suspension. So he kind of got a rest anyway. I think I saw somewhere on Twitter, might have been Jacob or John, said that it was a possible hamstring injury for Martinez, which at this stage of the season could be critical. Even a 2-week injury is not good when you're on the 27th of April. Tielemans as well, a big miss, a really important player for us now, and him going off after 20-odd minutes, 25 minutes, however well we're doing in the game, or already ahead or whatever, to miss him is crucial. And it's these things that you can't really account for when also predicting how Spurs are going to get on. If Van de Ven goes off injured after 30 minutes against Chelsea in a couple of weeks, and this coming Thursday, that's too difficult to say this is going to happen, that's going to happen, because things just go different in games sometimes. So maybe Spurs will have a little bit of that bad injury luck, which they've had a lot of this season already, but you know what I mean? Something will crop up in these next five games. For them to have five games in a space of time where we've only got three league games at least, they're not used to playing these midweeks, are they, this season? They play this Thursday when we play in the Conference League. I think they play the Tuesday night after we've played the Monday night football against Liverpool. So between the Burnley and the Sheffield United game, they've got Man City to squeeze in there. Maybe Man City still need points to win the league. Like, there's so many variables still at play that it's too difficult to suggest how things are going to go, but I still feel positive about finishing fourth, as I said before.
Yeah, I mean, on the injury thing with Martinez and Tielemans, I mean, the midfield thing, first of all, we're not destined to get them all together very often, are we, in terms of Tielemans, McGinn and Luiz, whether it's been suspensions or whatever, and now an injury for Tielemans. But, Dan, you know, we lost Buendia, I think, in pre-season, didn't we? And we're like, oh, what are we going to do now? Then we lost Mings on the opening day. What are we going to do now? And then we've lost Kamara. What are we going to do now? And then... So we've managed to rise to the challenge of losing absolutely everybody. You know, I think the loss of Martinez, if that does extend beyond his suspension on Thursday night, I think that's a real worry, because I think Martinez, as silly as it sounds, is probably the man who will put his foot on the ball for you and calm things down. I mean, we were talking about that the other day, weren't we? How much time he tends to have on the ball. And, you know, we'll probably chat a little bit about Robin Olsen in a minute, but however good Robin Olsen is, he's not going to be as good as the world's number one, which is probably why everybody was chanting the world's number two at him, which I thought was quite a good chant. But is that not a right back, the world's number two? But it's, I don't know. I still trust the process. I still trust the manager. I still trust the coach. It's only years of being a pessimistic Villa fan, seeing the rug pulled, that would make you doubt it. If you none of this doubt is aimed at Emery and his players, because I think they'll find a way. I just, 3 points tonight would have probably made that way a little bit easier on our blood pressure. But you know, it's supposed to be exciting, isn't it? You know, it's squeaky bum time. It's the end of the season, so you know, the entertainment industry, they clearly want us to. You know, put us through the mill and add dramatic tension before hopefully the heroes, you know, get the prize.
I'm going to have a heart attack one of these days if this entertainment keeps continuing the way it does. Bloody hell. Just a quick look at the Premier League table for a second. I think we can wrap up. We'll do Olsen, seeing as you mentioned him. Before we started, people were already in the comment section kind of waiting for us to go on air because the link was ready to go, saying like Olsen was terrible, and I think John gave him a 6 out of 10 in his player ratings, which is kind of the baseline. You start at a 6, so if you finish at a 6, you've been average, let's say. Oh, how dare you, 6, that's way too high. Had a good save at the end, like you said, kind of still plays the same, not to the extent that Martinez does, but we're still playing the same style of football under him. He's still passing it around at the back and whatnot. I thought he was okay. I don't get the massive kind of overreaction to he's cost us, he's terrible, etc.
Yeah, I don't think he's terrible.
He's not great. I'm fully aware of that, but that's because he's not Emi Martinez. That's my issue. But who is going to be as good as him as a backup?
Yeah, I mean, the first goal, I do think, I mean, Olsen had he'd had a spat with somebody, hadn't he, I think, and he was a bit fired up, and I think he's probably thrown the ball out quite quickly. And like, was it Cash and Louise, I think, who got robbed on the edge of the box? And maybe that was a hot-headed moment, but there was still a couple of mistakes before. You know, I'm not sure Olsen, he's completely to blame for that. And the second goal, I don't think, you know, I know we don't see Martinez beating from that range very often, but Gallagher's pinged that top bins, hasn't he? And you know, that's probably, I think, McGinn and Irabunam, who probably weren't expecting him to do that and probably could have got out to him a little bit faster. You know, I think if Emi Martinez is understudy, I think you're going to have an inferiority complex, aren't you? Because how can you possibly be that good? How can you possibly be that good with a ball at your feet? Listen, Unai Emery's no mug, and if he trusts us to play exactly the same way, passing the ball around the kind of the back four and trying to find our way out like that, and he trusts us to do that with Robin Olsen, then you've got to back his judgment. But it was weird because the guy next to me said we spotted Olsen warming up. He said, does Olsen normally warm up at half time? I was like, no, I don't think so. And then you've got that kind of impending, you know, that sense what's going on. Oh, well, maybe they're just getting him comfortable ahead of Thursday night, just getting him, you know, back under the lights at Villa Park. And then, you know, we've got to trust him. You know, a lot of our other understudies have stood up, have been able to stand up when we've had all those injuries that I've said before, and we'd have thought, oh, that's, he's going to be inferior, he's not going to be as good. But we've managed to find a way. So we've got Robin Olsen in goal on Thursday night, and potentially we've got Robin Olsen in goal for the next couple of weeks, depending on the severity of Martinez's injury. So we've just got to have faith. I don't think he was terrible. I don't think he cost us a game. And I think the save that he made from Cole Palmer, that was a crucial save. I think that's preserved a really important point. So, yeah, I don't want to be in the kind of digging out Robin Olsen camp tonight, really.
No, because we're going to have to rely on him potentially, at least for Thursday night. He will play. If Villa are going to go to Greece next week for the second leg with a lead, that's going to be because Robin Olsen has conceded less goals than Villa have scored. So we need him and we have to rely on him. There's people, a cluster of people around me, not directly around me, but in the lower Trinity, kind of moaning and groaning, and they could see him warming up a little bit more vigorously than he normally would. He was later out of the tunnel than the other substitutes as well. So we're all kind of murmuring of, what's going on? And well, apparently Martinez has picked something up, and, you know, like that impending doom feeling that you mentioned. Bits of kind of passing around the back from him was greeted with a little bit more of a bit of a ooh than Martinez would. There's one that's literally across the goal line. It's like, I'm all for playing around at the back, not along the goal line. let's cut that out. But there's someone that was like, oh, not Olsen, anybody but Olsen. So he's a goalkeeper, he's a Villa player. Like, we're in an important game here. At this stage, we're 2-0 up. Yes, you lose the world's number one, a huge blow. But you've got to, he's a Villa player. You've got to support him and back him. Like, we need him. We might need him for the rest of the season if Martinez has picked up. Like I said, a hamstring could be 2 or 3 weeks, but that's season ending at this stage of the year. So we might need Robin Olsen to help us secure top four. So all this kind of like, oh, we've got no chance if he's in goal. I hate stuff like that. He's a Villa player and we should all be getting behind him. As with the rest of the players, and yes, I'm aware earlier I kind of digged out Watkins for a disaster class versus a master class, and Torres is passing me and stopping. We're allowed to criticise poor performances, but this kind of preempting that, oh, it's going to be bad because they're not as good as so-and-so is just silly.
Yeah, and I've got to take issue with you on Torres for 1 minute, because his pass for the first goal was what opened up the ball to Luka Dean. So his passing was on point for that, but I agree over the course of the game he wasn't up to his usual standards. Another thing I need to take issue with, not with you, but with the Chelsea fans, for arguably the most ridiculous chant I've ever heard, or certainly this season. Oh, your city is blue. Your city is blue, just like London. So let's first of all, London, as we know, is claret and blue.
Exactly. This year, I thought because that.
Villa have gone and, well, let's hope they continue that away at Palace on the last day of the season. But Villa have gone and owned London. And I don't think our city is blue. You know,
of course
our bitter rivals are teetering on the brink, shall we say. So having wound me up by singing that, because it got no foundation whatsoever, one of my most joyous moments, not just because it meant what it meant for Villa in terms of getting the point, but was seeing them have to pipe down quite quickly when they thought their last-minute winner had counted. So just for reference, this city, Birmingham, is claret and blue, and this season, so has London been. So there you go.
I always found that chant weird. I know it's there purely to antagonise us, I get it. But in the year that Arsenal may win the league, like, if anything, Arsenal's red, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, weird. I've always thought that was weird. Just finally then, to end, like I said, I made a couple of notes on my on a document just before we started of things that I just wanted to make sure we got out. Villa tweeted similar. Guaranteed a fifth place finish in the league at least. and Europa League qualification for next season. Last year, obviously, we finished seventh in the Conference League, so we've improved on league position and the European competition that we will be in next year. With three games to go, still a possibility of finishing one place higher and one rung of European competition higher. Forget what happens for the rest of this season. And yes, if we do not finish in the top four, I will be disappointed. And maybe with time, I'll come to accept that this has still been a good season and the Europa League will be fun next year, yada, yada, yada. When the Europa League comes around next year, I'll be thinking, well, we should have finished in the Champions League. But, you know, park that for now. Whatever happens in these remaining three games, whether we do it or not, can we just take a minute to appreciate what we've done so far, at least? If we lost every game now, we're going to finish fifth and we'll be playing in the Europa League next year. If you'd have said that at the start of the season, you'll compete with Europe very well this year. You'll have a load of injuries. You'll get to the European competition that you're in. You'll get to the semi-final of that. And you'll finish fifth, being in the Europa League for the year after. You'd have thought we were mental at the start of the season if you'd have said that, if I'd have offered you that. So the fact that that is the bare minimum that will happen next season, yes, we've still got time to go yet, but that deserves a little bit of a round of applause, doesn't it?
No, I'm not having it, mate. I'm not having it. I support a big club now. I'm super entitled and I'm super expectant. So unless we finish fourth, win the damn thing, win the Conference League and fix the website, I'm not having it. I'm not going to applaud anybody. No, I am massively appreciative of what we've been able to witness this season. You do get greedy. You can actually see. Yeah. I don't think we've not won anything yet and we've not qualified for the Championship League yet. But you can almost see that our fan bases start to think, well, this is our divine right. It isn't anybody's divine right, but we've given ourselves one hell of a chance to... Mm-hmm. We're back at the top table, aren't we? In terms of, even if we don't get over the line, Champions League and the Conference League, we actually feel like we're a club that belongs amongst the elite. I know you've got to prove that. You've got to prove that year in, year out. But it's been a fantastic season. It surpassed all of our expectations. The problem is our expectations grow. So you've got to keep matching them. You've got to keep matching them. And the sooner you surpass them, they grow again. And that's the kind of, I suppose, the big club mentality and being able to do it time and time again. And that's the thing that I kind of thank our lucky stars that we've got a genius in charge. We've got an elite manager in charge and he knows what it takes. He knows what the pressure is. And I think, like I said, the old me would have thought, oh, that's it now. We're done now. We've blown it tonight. And I did go through some of those sensations, but then I looked to the dugout and I think we got somebody special in that dugout who he won't think we've blown it. He'll be disappointed and we're frustrated, but he'll say, okay, then what did we do wrong? How do we learn from that? How do we make sure that in our next three games in the Premier League, we get over the line and get the job done? So, yes, I was being sarcastic before. I'm very, very proud and very appreciative of what we've achieved. And I still think there's a little bit more to come this season.
Me too. Having said all that, I still think we'll finish fourth. And I think we've got a very good chance of winning this trophy as well. And that's now on Emery and whoever is left in this squad to now go out and achieve that. But I think with time, if the only thing we do this year is finish fifth and qualify for the Europa League, still a very good season. But it's almost kind of like being 2-0 up, isn't it? And then throwing it away, you kind of feel disappointed. To be fourth all along and not do it at this stage of the season would be disappointing. But I think, as John said, Spurs have got to put a hell of a run together to overtake us, and we have to have a dramatic fall off, and that probably means losing two of the next three, which I don't think we'll do. And Spurs probably need to win 3 of 6, maybe 4 of 6, which is a tough ask given their fixtures as well. So I think it's probably going to go to the wire. It's a bloody shame that fifth isn't going to be enough, isn't it, with the coefficient, because we could all just relax now. And I think there is still a possibility where that happens. Villa need to win both legs and the final, and Bayer Leverkusen and Dortmund need to lose both of their Champions League semi-final legs. They can't lose the tie. They have to lose both matches. If all of those things happen, I think fifth then becomes a Champions League spot for England, but it's very, very slim. It's like a 2% chance. So it's going to take fourth. It's going to take another couple of points from Villa. 4, 6, 9 would be lovely. And it'll be in Villa's hands then to go and finish in the top four. I think that's it for this one. I did have another thing I was going to say, but I've totally forgotten where I was going to go, so we'll just wrap it up. Okay. Oh, no, I remembered. We've got shout-outs, just very quickly.
Shout-outs. Yeah, my son texted me the other day saying, My history teacher is asking if you can give her boyfriend a shout out on the podcast. So I said, if we can do a deal and she can make sure that you ace your GCSEs, then consider it done. But so there's a fella called Charlie Birdies. I think I pronounced that right. So hello, Charlie. Thanks for listening and thanks for watching. And there's a fella who accosted me today at the match, and he saw through my disguise because I was wearing a big Hallis Hawks bobble hat in honour of Morgan Rogers. Mike Mullins. So he came over and he's a lovely fella and he says he's a big fan of the show. So hello, Mike.
Nice. Hi, Mike. The one thing I wanted to end with, and you said you kind of alluded to it just about the expectation changing as you become more quote-unquote successful and attitudes changing and expectations and whatnot. I remember saying, me and my dad years ago, when we were rubbish for a long time, circling the plug of relegation, actually being relegated, then being crap in the Championship as well. If we ever get back, first of all, to the Premier League and then back to the top table around the top six, top seven, back amongst European competition, imagine that one day we get back there. I'm not going to be one of these fans that gets annoyed and frustrated by these games where you're still right at the top, but the pressure when you're right at the top, you can see why it happens, can't you? Because you're now at the stage where every game is so important that you feel this pressure of, if we don't do something here, like our rivals will. So we have to keep winning. It's a weird thing that we're not used to, I suppose. And that's why sometimes it feels disappointing. But I don't want to be one of those fans of like, oh, well, don't be too grateful about what we used to be in the Championship. So that was years ago. Like, that's in the past now. Like, we're in this season. And it's about now. But just a bit of perspective of like, if we do drop the odd point here and there, sometimes it isn't always the end of the world. There is still twists and turns to come. And yeah, I think we'll be fine.
I thought you were going to say that you, having had that conversation with your dad flounced out as soon as Chelsea pulled a goal back and, you know, set fire to his season ticket. But I think the Rollingtons tend to be a little bit more measured than that, don't you?
Yeah, so, I think so.
No, I agree. I've got a packet of Cheetos that are, I think I've got two or three left, but I've resisted eating them because I didn't want to, you know, the old orange fingers, they're the flamey hot ones. And my hands get a bit like kind of Donald Trump and his nine brothers if I eat too many of them. So I didn't want to. So I'm starving, is what I'm saying. So I'm going to bugger off and finish my last three Cheetos.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you for sharing that with us. It's 9:15 now into Sunday morning. There's 400 people still watching live. So thank you for choosing our podcast to watch or listen to later down the line to discuss the 2-2 with Chelsea. Three more to go in the Premier League, three big games to come. First of all, a Europa Conference League semi-final at Villa Park this Thursday. We'll be back on Monday with the Q&A show, as always. There'll probably be an episode later on Sunday as well. We've got absolutely loads of content in the bag that will be kind of scheduled out over the course of the next week or two, plus the previews and the post-matches and whatnot for Europe, for Brighton, Palace, Liverpool. Hopefully a final in Athens as well, who knows. So loads to be excited about, loads to be happy about. Just one of those nights tonight. Right. That's it. Go and enjoy your crisps. Night night, everyone. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
And the city is Claret and Blue. There's a clue in the title over there somewhere. So the city is Claret and Blue. All right, just seeing it.
Cheers, everyone. Thanks for watching. Bye bye.